for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
One thing I wish we could do more of here at InfoWars, but also in general, and that's engage in rigorous, good-spirited, good-hearted, good-natured, good-intent debate with the two polarized political sides of the aisle in the United States to come together and then break bread at the end. But we rarely get to see that, do we? Here's Candace Owens explaining why.
The way that you stand behind yours, like I'm not showing up because she, you know, none of them want to show up and debate. That's the whole point. AOC was offered, NBC reached out to us and said they would love to have us both sit down and have a debate. AOC declined. I said yes. When you're lying, you shouldn't debate, right? That's a pretty good rule to follow. So the left will never debate a conservative. You'll never see a leftist debate a conservative because they don't want to be exposed for the frauds that they are. And it's an uphill climb, but I do think it helps when we challenge them to debates and they decline them. I think it makes their followers go, well, if everything you're saying is real, just expose Candace, right? Just expose her as an Uncle Tom race traitor. If I'm actually all of those things, they should be happy to sit down with me and to expose me for that. But they don't do that because they know that I'm on the side of truth and they're on the side of lies.
Are you really?
Someone back there asked the question, if you're going to run for president.
Why, you guys don't like Trump? We have an awesome president. No, I knew what you were getting at. You know, I always used to say blanket no across the board because I think that you can box harder from the outside and make more of an impact. But now I just say exactly what Trump said 30 years before he ran, which is that if my country needed me, I would raise to the challenge and I would run. But at this point in time, I have no political ambitions.
Candace, welcome to Colorado from somebody whose family has been here for 7 generations.
Oh, wow.
But also, I wanted to know if Black Lives Matter has ever invited you to speak.
Pretty much it.
They have not, but I had them on my show, of course.
And this is Candace Owens. This is Candace Owens explaining it. But again, I don't know how Tucker Carlson gets all these people on. We try to get them on. There's a couple that will come on with us every once in a while. And we're glad to host them. But what she said is true. The reason why the average liberal Democrat will not engage in a debate with a conservative is because they know that their foundation of their ideology is based on lies, misinformation, or just in general, they really don't have a foundation for their belief system and their ideology. And they know that once that is put to task, that they will fail. And so they cannot have that moment where all their ideologies come collapsing down around them because they cannot explain why. But there's one thing that remains consistent. And it's just an amazing phenomenon that I don't know how goes. It's not that it goes unnoticed. It's just it kind of goes unchanged, and that is the fact that the same people that complain about climate change and poverty and the rich getting richer, the places where these people run the show are the very places that they're talking about. Where is homelessness and poverty the worst? New York and LA, run by Democrats. Where is pollution the worst? Major inner cities like New York and LA, where Democrats run the show. So, I'm no Republican, but I've seen the results of a Democrat-run city, and I'm seeing what they're doing to Austin now. And Mayor Adler won't even show up when InfoWars goes to city council.
Thank you.
It is September 6th. Man, time is flying, isn't it? September 6th, 2019. This is the Infowars.com War Room. Brought to you by InfowarsStore.com. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. Normally, right now, as is tradition, the official drink of the War Room is Turbo Force from InfowarsStore.com. Yesterday, I stacked it with the Brain Force and the Chill Force. It was a total victory. For some reason, though, I just felt like drinking coffee today. So I'm drinking the Patriot Blend Coffee from InfowarsStore.com. So we're not putting down the Turbo Force. That's still the official drink of the War Room. But today I've decided to drink the Patriot Blend Coffee from InfowarsStore.com. You know, it's pretty nice to work here at InfoWars where we have the best coffee, always warm, always fresh, ready to go. I've got boxes of Turbo Force everywhere. I can just take a Turbo Force whenever I need. So cheers to this audience as I take my first sip of the Patriot Blend Coffee here live on air. Big fan. Refreshing. Now, we have an absolutely stacked lineup of guests today. Dan Lyman is on the line right now, ready to go with news coming out of Europe. Richard Reeves is going to be joining me as well. He's been an InfoWars reporter in the past, and he calls me yesterday, and he's breaking down all this information about this window of time we're in right now and what people need to be thinking about and doing in this window of time with the current political landscape. And he's breaking this all to me on the phone. I'm like, Richard, this is too important. This can't be a conversation that just me and you are having and all the people spying on my conversations are hearing. Everybody needs to be hearing this. So he's going to be joining me to talk about that. Very important information. You want to know how to get involved? You want to know how you can get involved and change this country for the better? Richard Reeves is going to break it down. Jacob Engels is going to be joining me in the second hour as well at 4:30 Central. Someone recently told me about how he got banned. And I'm like, man, so is he banned on everything? So they just ban him on PayPal in the middle of the hurricane. We'll find out what that's all about. And then Joseph Saladino, also known as Joey Salads, the first YouTube star really to run for office. Eric Swalwell put him in the crosshairs of a libelous tweet by my measurement. Joseph is thinking about suing. So we're going to have him on to talk about that. And if I have time, it is Friday. I need to open up the lines. I do have other news I got to get to too. So it's going to be absolutely loaded. So now that I'm thinking about it, I may just have to suck down this coffee and take a Turbo Force just out of sheer necessity so that I can possibly even get to all this news. I got a stack here that I haven't even gotten into yet that I need to get into. And then the big news, of course, is that InfoWars is tomorrow's news today, folks. So like, and I know the audience knows that. It's just, I want that to be etched into the earth because we reported first about how Elizabeth Warren is the real frontrunner now. Everybody's catching up. Okay? We're telling you now how Austin, Texas is becoming San Francisco, LA. That'll be mainstream news in 2-3 months. So it just goes on and on. But no one covered the secret meeting, which wasn't secret, between Big Tech and Big Brother at Facebook headquarters this week. No one covered it. We did. And now what's happening? They're meeting again. Oh, but this one you won't hear about because they're finally realizing that states' attorney generals are actually looking at antitrust investigations into these big tech companies. So the wars are on. Yes, wars. There are multiple civil wars happening in this country on multiple fronts. It is an incredible time to be alive. Now, Dan Lyman from InfoWars Europe, europe.infowars.com. Dan, I'm just doing my normal news aggregation this week, and I'm just seeing stunning news coming out of Europe. So much so that I couldn't even put it all in front of me. I'm seeing, I mean, Sweden is gone. Swedistan is now here. You've got, we've got the video clip. We'll play it next segment. The Islamic State now basically moving into Belgium and saying, we're just going to take over now politically. And then it's just across the board. It's crazy. The lawyer for ASAP Rocky in Sweden just got shot in the head. Not sure if you want to talk about that. But the latest stories from Dan Lyman. Flemish MP climbs atop City Hall to call for an end of Islamic occupation. So people are fighting back in some parts of Europe. And then you have Turkey threatens to flood Europe with migrants. So there's a total civil war happening in the EU as well. Dan Lyman covers all of it for InfoWars Europe. Dan, where do you want to start? So much news coming out of Europe.
Good to be back with you, Owen. It's been a little while. Yeah, there is never a dull moment here, as we always say when we kick things off. There's so much going on that I even have a hard time keeping track of it all, because obviously there is so much, so many details buried in reports. And actually, just going back to what you just said about the lawyer for ASAP Rocky, I was actually tracking that story this morning in Swedish media, trying to get an idea of what had happened. And then I just learned after a little break from the news that it was a lawyer that had represented ASAP Rocky early on when he was arrested. So, I mean, that just sinks to high heaven. Apparently, it was a female that shot him, if I'm not mistaken, according to the most recent reports I've seen. So, yeah, never a dull moment. The news out of Sweden is constantly blackmailing for the state of that country. But the news around Europe in general is just chaotic. We have Salvini out in Italy. We have Brexit in turmoil. We have a situation in Germany where actually AfD is making some gains there. So things are just going back and forth. The situation in Greece right now is not looking good. In the islands, they're starting to be swamped again with migrants. They had over 600 land on the Isle of Lesbos in one day last week on boats that set sail from Turkey. And there is some evidence that indicates that there were NGO workers waiting to greet them once they got to shore and usher them onto the island. So just madness all around in Europe. And it only gets crazier by the day, that's for sure.
Well, let me pick one topic. Let's stick with it for the 2 minutes here, and then we'll come back in the next segment and jump into another one. You know, you mentioned Greece. You know, Greece is trying to secure their borders right now. Are you saying that this isn't a direct response to the fact they're just getting flooded? Is that what's happening in Greece right now? Because I'm seeing stories out of Greece where they're trying to revamp their entire border security infrastructure.
There is that to a degree. I don't know how effective they can be at this point, because things are so in such turmoil turmoil there in Greece, and they are so beholden to whatever the EU foists upon them, given their financial situation. As of right now, the islands that have been inundated in the past in 2015, 2016 with migrants are now receiving large amounts of them again. They had over 2,000 land in the first 2 weeks on the island of Lesbos. And then since then, they've had another flood. The other day, there were something like 13 boats with over 600 migrants that came over from Turkey. And then, of course, we have Erdogan threatening to open the floodgates to Europe. There are some indications that there are already cracks in the floodgates. And according to reports, there are some 3.6 million migrants currently in Turkey. And Turkey takes billions in payoffs to keep them there to some degree. And Erdogan is basically saying, I need more money to do so-and-so project to repatriate some of the Syrian migrants back to Syria, allowing basically inroads for Turkey into Syria. And he's saying, if I don't get this money, then I just might have to allow the floodgates to be open into Europe and to allow these migrants to make their way in at their leisure.
Yeah, and geographically, this is so key, because Turkey is basically, I mean, it's essentially the pathway that a lot of these migrants go through when trying to get to Europe. I believe Turkey built a massive wall. I mean, they have like a huge wall to try to curtail some of this. But now they're just saying, okay, well, give us what we want, or we're just going to open the floodgates, as you say, to Europe. And floodgates have already been opened. So at this point, it's just a total collapse situation if they don't get it under control. Dan Lyman, InfoWars Europe, our guest. Let's get into the situation in Belgium on the other side of this break.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
You know, I'm trying to think of the best way to cover this as we are back live here on the InfoWars.com War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. Dan Lyman with me from InfoWars Europe. I'm trying to figure the best way to cover this because there's so many issues here, and it's just a confluence of issues. It's a linear pattern that you can follow. But what's happening in Belgium is just an example of what is to come to Europe. And see, I'm just a guy that asks questions in a linear fashion to try to figure out the root cause of an issue. So you can say, well, why are all these Muslims going to Europe? What the hell is going on? Well, again, there's a confluence of issues there. But let's just focus on what's happening in Belgium and realize that we don't want this to come to America, and we don't want Muslims migrating to other secular nations and then dominating it politically through their religious ideology. Here is a video, the RT covering, the Muslim Party in Belgium is now campaigning to establish an Islamic state in their new country, Belgium.
State should be in favor of equality of men and women, in favor of the rule of law, freedom of expression. And when we see that people don't accept this and are going to be candidates in elections, well, that I think there's a big problem. There's also a big problem with the fact that people who don't even have our nationality are allowed to vote for local elections in Belgium. And I think this should change. And first of all, also, we should put a stop to this mass immigration of people coming from outside Europe and from mainly Islamic countries, people who cannot and will not adapt to our way of living in Western.
So again, that's an RT report. And again, the story is how Muslims in Belgium are trying to take over the government and establish Islamic law. Now, Dan, you've got the story. Flemish MP climbs atop City Hall to call for an end of Islamic occupation. So what's happening in Belgium right now where they're trying to make Islam the political force that it has been in Muslim nations, but you have some, it appears, standing up to this, saying we're not going to fall to an Islamic occupation.
Right. In many of these Belgian cities now at this point, the Islamic population could range anywhere from 15 to 25%, depending on the city and depending on how the numbers are counted. This politician in particular, Philip de Winter, he is one of the leaders of the populist nationalist Vlaams Belang party. That they basically are from the Flemish region of Belgium, and they are advocating for national sovereignty. Even in some cases, they'd like to see Flanders return to the Flemish people and to break away from Belgium in some cases. But I can't speak for De Winter on that case. But he did climb to the top of City Hall in Antwerp. And he gave basically a viral video that he recorded there and was just explaining briefly the history of the city, its relationship to freedom in general, a history of revolution and wars, and things that the city has survived all throughout for decades. I'm sorry, centuries now at this point. And the city hall has been up since the 1500s. And he basically said that the city hall is kind of a symbol of freedom that has stood throughout all of this turmoil and occupations by different nations, different cultures. And he said now the city is being occupied by Islamists. And he estimated that about 25% of the city is Islamic. And he called for basically that to be investigated by the voters, let's say, to speak their mind and say if they really want this to happen to their city. And for their city to be overrun. And that's the case that's playing out across so many Western European cities. He just happens to be one voice of many across Europe who are saying, you know, something's wrong here. We're losing control of our cities to people from other countries, other ideologies, who have a much different view of freedom and how a country and city should be run.
Well, and I look at this and I ask myself, why are all of these Muslims moving to Europe? Why is the Muslim population in Europe skyrocketing? What is going on here? And again, there's a bunch of different things. There's a political agenda. There's the Soros-funded movement of people, the migration. And then there's you'll hear this point, and I think to a certain level it's fair. A lot of these countries have been ravaged by war, some wars that they didn't bring upon themselves, and so they do become victims of war, refugees of war, you could say. I do think there's a level of that. However, there's something else going on when the Muslim nations like Saudi Arabia and Iran and others aren't opening their doors. They're not taking these people in. They're not taking migrants. They're not taking immigrants. They don't have open borders. But if you're a European nation, somehow you're blighted with this and you have to lose your culture. You have to open your borders. I mean, what do you think the story here is? Why is it that Europe has to fall to Islam now and these migrants aren't going to other Muslim nations?
Well, of course, like you said, countries like Saudi Arabia are not taking them in. However, Saudi Arabia is spending massive amounts of money to build mosques and acquire land in European and other Western countries. So it's not like they don't have the resources to take these people in. Of course, it's been reported many times that there is a tent city out in the desert in Saudi Arabia where they could house something like 3 million or 300,000 migrants if they wanted to, that have air conditioning in the tents. So it is all a choice, of course, but people might want to look
and
into
it. By the way, just because what you said sounds so crazy, the crew should pull this up. That's a real thing. There's literally like crazy tent city setup they have. Like you think you're at like a Burning Man deal, except it's actually like nice tents with air conditioning. So I just want to like, that's a real thing. So go on, Dan.
Yeah, I think that the number is 3 million, but if it's 300,000, that's still shocking as well. I don't want to misquote that number, but I believe that it's 3 million. I think if people want to understand what's going on here, they should look up the meaning of hijra, H-I-J-R-A-H. That is basically the command for Muslims to spread throughout the world. And it's part of the jihad, the struggle. And that is their mission, you know, to go to places where they might not want to live, like the Arctic Circle of Sweden, for instance, where some of them have been housed and put. And that's just part of the devotion to their faith and what they're supposed to be doing. And so that is what compels many of the devout Islamists. And then also, of course, many of them are just living on taxpayer money from European taxpayers. So in Sweden, one of the prevailing stories right now, and it's recurring, it's happening more and more across Swedish municipalities and towns and cities where they've been laden with some of them with up to 25% of their population now is recently arrived migrants that are all on the dole. And these cities are basically saying, we're running out of money. We don't have any money. We're facing economic collapse. And I see these stories more and more often across Sweden. So basically they're financially imploding these cities by just overloading them with people who are not going to work and who do tend to have large families and who receive basically all of their support from the government. And that would be, of course, the taxpayer.
It's absolutely wild, and it will collapse Europe. And that's why Boris Johnson and the Brexit Party and Nigel Farage are trying to make the Brexit happen. Let's get into the Brexit on the other side of this break.
Infowars.com/show. Trigger warning. This broadcast contains subject matter that may offend liberal snowflakes. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
Pretty funny, actually. A couple things going through my head, and then we'll get back to Dan Lyman. This is going crazy right now. Candace Owens, like all of these people get into a debate with her on Twitter, and then she says, hey, let's actually debate, you know, for charity, and let's film it and everything, and then they bow out and they say, no, I'm not in this for entertainment, but these are literally entertainers like Jemele Hill. I mean, it's just, these people are such frauds, man. And they're just so weak-minded. It's just pathetic. That's just a distraction, though, that I just saw during the break. I also saw this morning, and I didn't want to cover it because I really don't know the context. But it appears to be, this comes out of Europe, It appears to be two Muslim ladies wearing the full hijab, either getting caught stealing at a department store or a grocery store, or they just got done stealing at a grocery store. And basically, they're in their full hijab, and it's basically just a big thing for them to loot a bunch of bags of candy. Now, again, I don't know the context of this. This video was going viral this morning. I wasn't going to cover it until now. It's being censored on Twitter. So this video is being censored on Twitter. Now, again, I wasn't going to cover it because I couldn't find any context to put to it other than it just appears like two Muslim ladies robbing a grocery store blind, putting all the candy in their hijab and then walking out with it because you can't see it because they're wearing a damn trash bag. But Twitter is now censoring that video. And so everyone that was posting it this morning is having it removed, and they're having to repost it because Twitter's censoring it. So what the hell is that? Yeah, the crew's pointing out how it's got over 50,000 views, but somehow less than 1,000 likes. Yeah, give me a break. But that's the kind of stuff that's going on in Europe. That's why Europeans are getting sick of it. That's why the Brexit vote happened twice, but they still can't get the Brexit. So Dan Lyman with us for another segment. Dan, Boris Johnson comes out and says he'd literally rather die than delay the Brexit another month. He doesn't want to spend another month in the EU that he has to. Said he'd rather be dead. But obviously, it's not going to be that easy. They're still trying to push back. They're still not letting Britain have its sovereignty. What is the latest with Brexit? Where do you think this goes?
Wow, Brexit. I have to be honest. Brexit is one of the most confusing topics to stay on top of because There's so much minutia, so many ins and outs in the British, the governmental system there that it still baffles me the way that everything works. There has to be royal assent for this, and the Lord of the House of Lords has to approve this, and then the Prime Minister this, and snap election that. So it can get very confusing. From what I understand right now, Boris Johnson is calling for a snap election, basically to solidify himself as the official prime minister, because obviously he wasn't quite elected to get in there with the ouster of Theresa May, her resignation, and he basically ascended through a nomination process. So if he can call a nationwide election prior to the October 31st deadline and win, then essentially he has the people's mandate, so to speak, to execute Brexit to the best of his abilities, and he has said that he would do it no deal or deal. So he has challenged Jeremy Corbyn to basically have this vote, and Jeremy Corbyn says no to the vote. So there is a lot of confusion as to what's going to happen. There's going to be another vote on Monday. I think Parliament is trying to vote to block any no deal Brexit from going through, and they're also trying to delay Brexit again. So things are very complicated there. I do like what I'm seeing out of Boris because I am very skeptical of him. I don't trust him completely. However, him standing his ground as of right now, I think, is admirable, to say the least.
Yeah, certainly not. His politics aren't, perfect, I would say. Nobody's are. But he does, I believe, seem to be genuine about this Brexit. So the Queen is set to speak on this. I believe it's on the 14th. I was having the crew look this up. I do believe it is the 14th when the Queen is going to give a speech, apparently in support of Brexit. So that would be an interesting thing to witness. But what are you hearing from Britain? What are you hearing coming out of people that will be involved in this vote? Because they've already voted twice. I mean, it's like, are they sick of voting at this point? Do they feel that even a vote won't help them?
I don't know. When I hear from just, let's say, mainstream Brits, mainstream Irish people who just read the mainstream news, the mainstream media is very effective at pushing propaganda that gets them all into, they latch onto their issue, whatever it may be with the Irish. It's the backstop, the border with Northern Ireland, with the mainland English folks on the Big Island there. They have their own issues. Project Fear, as it's known, getting people to be concerned concerned about, you know, whatever detail affects their life. There's some lady, cat ladies hoarding cat food because they think they won't have access to it, or people saying the supply chains will go down and they need to stock up on food and water. I mean, the whole thing is madness, and they have everybody whipped up into such a frenzy there. And then you look at countries like Norway, Iceland, Switzerland, not part of the EU, have no problem trading, doing business, getting the products that they need, selling the products that they need to sell. And so for anyone who buys into this and thinks that that Britain is going to collapse because they're not in the EU, I mean, that's just madness. Let's just look at the other countries that are doing just fine without being in the EU.
So it'll be interesting to see if there is any, I mean, you have a vote. But is it really a vote? It's just a symbol of a vote. It's just a facade of a vote. There's no actual practical value of this vote. At least that's the way it's been for Brexit. All right, final topic here before Dan Lyman goes. Angela Merkel. Now, what is the current status of Merkel? Because I was hearing she was on her way out. There were hints she was on her way out. She's still in. Is she out? Is she in? What's the deal with Merkel right now?
Also, another very confusing situation because, of course,
Dan, you're supposed to have these answers for me.
Well, what the issue is,
if I can't go to Dan Lyman, where can I go?
The issue is that there is so much information from both sides that when you see these people hanging in there, for instance, when everyone was sure that Macron was going to be ousted by the Gilets Jaunes after months of protests, it looked like they were going to basically push him out, and it didn't happen. So there are forces behind the scenes that are pulling so hard to keep these people in power. It's so clear that Merkel seems to have some sort of health issue. She's had these trembling spells and doesn't look well. She barely formed her last government. It took months to form that government. Barely hanging on by a thread. Even as of today, Deutsche Welle, the state-run media, is running defense for her, saying that the majority of Germans want her to hang in there and stay to the end of her term. I don't know if that's the case. There is so much disinformation, but I do see the AfD is rising in Eastern Germany, and I do see that the Green Party is doing very well in Germany, and that's even the more radical eco-leftists there. So Germany is a mess right now. But Merkel's hanging on by a thread. Macron has been hanging on. May hung in for much longer than I think a lot of us would. So it is quite a time. And then, of course, we have Salvini. All of a sudden, almost overnight, he's out. And so things are just moving at breakneck speed right now.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Dan Lyman, Europe.Infowars.com. He's got the finger to the pulse on all of these news stories, and that's where you can follow his work. Wow, I'm pumped, guys. Give me a doc cam. Look at this. I got to all the subjects. I got to every subject that I wanted to talk to Dan Lyman about. We talked about Greece, Merkel, Sweden, Belgium, and the Brexit. There it is. Dan Lyman from Europe.Infowars.com. Dan, thanks as always. There he goes. Now, when we come back, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do a news blitz in this segment. I need to get some Turbo Force too. The coffee, it's good, but it's not doing it for me. I'm going to hit the Turbo Force. I'm going to do a news blitz. And then in the next hour, Richard Reeves joins us. So get ready for a news blitz on the other side.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am pumped right now. Actually, I want to thank my crew. Let me get a crew cam. I'm pretty hard on our sound guy, Derek. Rightfully so. But he just got in my good graces because he brought me a brand new box of Turbo Force. So he's good for at least 3 minutes now. So he's good for maybe even 5 minutes free of ridicule. Because he just brought me a fresh box of Turbo Force. Now, I was drinking the coffee, the Patriot Blend coffee, folks. And I don't know. It's just I needed something more. The coffee isn't giving me the energy that I need right now. And so, unfortunately, I'm going to have to put the coffee down because I need a a little more extreme energy boost for the next hour, 2 hours of news that we're going to get into here. So I said, guys, I got to get the Turbo Force. Otherwise, I think I might just collapse. So I'm going to do the Turbo Force. Fresh box. Just opened it. It's been a long week. Busy broadcast week. It's a Friday. I'm running low on energy. And I'm even going to a rock show tonight. So I can't be low energy. I can't be low energy hosting the War Room. I can't be low energy at a rock concert. That's just embarrassing. I can't be low energy in general. So I'm going to have to hit this Turbo Force right now. Now, people are like, hey, why do you always do that drinking Turbo Force on air? Like, what's wrong with you, man? You know, it sounds bad. It's like weird. You look like an infomercial. No, I actually like Turbo Force. I actually drink Turbo Force. I actually can feel the effects of Turbo Force. So, yeah, I do it on air in the middle of the show, not as a stunt, but as literally I need Turbo Force right now. I need energy. But I'm already kind of chill today. So I don't think I need the chill force. I think just the Turbo Force from InfoWarsStore.com should do it. Well, why not just hit a Brain Force, though? I mean, why not? I got a bottle of Brain Force Plus right here. I might as well. Be crazy not to. So I'm stacking, as per usual here on the War Room, the Brain Force plus the Turbo Force. I'm already kind of chill, so I'm not going to do the Chill Force today. Savannah's pretty chill, too, so far, so we won't make her take the Chill Force today either. So we're just going to do Brain Force Plus and the Turbo Force here, just like this. The flavor's so good. What is that movie? Or it's like the flavor. Oh, it's Hot Rod. That's what it is. Hot Rod. There's the flavor. The crew liked that one. All right. So, Turbo Force from InfoWarsStore.com. You cannot go wrong. Okay. News Blitz time. You know, let me just say this, because I'm not going to have time to get to all this news today. So, if you want to see all the news aggregation I do, if you want to see the stories I cover, if you want to see the stories that I think are important, most I get to on the War Room, a lot of times I don't. I release a press release. It's a weekday press release every day. I release it. It's only found on my Subscribestar. So if you want to see all the news aggregation I do, if you want to see all the stories I cover during the War Room, and if you want to see the stories that I don't get to because I don't have enough time, go over to my Subscribestar and check out the Owen Schroyer press release. Literally, it's $1. I can't, because see, I'm getting banned off all social media, and I can't do this on Twitter, but I can do this on Subscribestar. But the way their subscription service is based, I can lower it down to $1. So sign up $1, and you get access to the Owen Schroyer press release. And you can enter the raffle to win the Censorship Cup autographed by the InfoWars crew. But we'll talk about that later. Let's get into the news here. This just came out from Forbes. Exclusive. Feds demand Apple and Google hand over names of 10,000-plus users of a gun scope app. So it's reaching a point where they're starting to take into practice some of the things they'll have to do to create a social credit score, which will then decide whether you can buy a gun or not. This is just the beginning of that. So, oh yes, give us the names of all of these people. Obsidian 4 users. More than 10,000 downloads. We demand all of those names. So the feds are demanding access to tens of thousands of innocent people's personal data. Of course, that's a joke. They already have all that data. This is just setting a precedent that if you like guns or you have a gun app, like I can download an app right now it's basically a soundboard on your phone, and you hit your phone, and it sounds like a shotgun or a machine gun or whatever. So if I download that app that's probably been downloaded a million times, I'm probably now a bad guy, and this is just the framework that they're building for a social credit score. That's what this is. But there you go. Forbes has the story. This is what... But, you know, it'll be nice because Apple and Google will probably hand over all of that data willingly. But it doesn't matter. They've already handed the data. This is just a precedent-setting situation to say, oh, you downloaded an app that has anything to do with a gun, so we have to send your information to the government. You could be a threat. That's what this really is. Another big news story in this stack. I don't have time to go through the stack, but we covered this yesterday. Now it's going into second gear. The executives in these companies are finally starting to panic. It's not enough, but it's a start. State's attorneys generals are about... I can't go through all this news, guys. See if you can pull it up. It's red linked on Drudge. State's attorneys generals are about to launch antitrust probes into Facebook and Google. And the good news here is, with all the political polarization, this is a bipartisan effort. So that means the Democrats, that means the Republicans will both be working together. You might ask, where is Tulsi Gabbard on all this? I wish she was more boisterous, but she's pretty silent. So, you bet your bottom dollar, executives at Facebook and Google are crapping themselves right now. Now, the question, or I should say, the problem that we really have here is that the people that will be running these probes, the good people that will try to figure out what's going on at Google and Facebook, because they're not lawbreakers, because they're not criminals, because they don't use the power of the government for their agenda, they will not act swiftly enough to actually find out what's going on inside of these big tech companies. And so probably nothing's going to come of this. Sorry to be the bearer of bad news, folks, but I just call it as I see it. I'm not going to tell you that, you know, the NFL season started. And if somebody throws a 60-yard touchdown pass, you know, if Aaron Rodgers for the Green Bay Packers throws a 60-yard touchdown pass down the middle of the field for a touchdown, as a play-by-play commentator, I'm not going to say, incomplete pass, Packers fourth down and punt. No, I'm going to say, that's a touchdown pass, 60 yards, good for a touchdown. So I'm just telling you, they're planning all these antitrust probes. The Trump administration is looking at stuff. States are looking at stuff. They're going to do it. They will do it, but it won't matter. They will not act swiftly enough. Google and Facebook should have been raided last month. All this antitrust stuff should have already gone down. You've waited too long. It's over. It's done. Forget about it. So it's nice to see that there's some interest, but it's sad to say there's not enough action and it won't be swift enough. Nothing will happen. By the way, they've already got all these contracts with the government. They've already got all your data. They'll blackmail the hell out of anyone they think will actually try to bring them down with this anyway. And again, the fact that they're just now considering it and getting ready to do it tells me you acted way too slow. You lost. They've already won. They've already done it all. So we'll just have to watch whatever's happening at Facebook and Google continue to go on until we have somebody that's going to act swiftly to see what the hell's going on inside these big tech companies, where we know they're rigging search results, they're using algorithms to rig search results, and they're using the power that they have with their hundreds of millions and even billions of users on these platforms, using all the power they have to try and rig and manipulate and steer and control United States elections. That's going on. And the big joke is they meet with the FBI to secure elections. That's the biggest joke that you'll ever hear since a Chappelle skit.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The fight
for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Troyer at Infowars.com/show.
All right, look, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going through news right now to just figure out what I want to do as far as my next news blitz is concerned, because I got all these great guests coming up, including Richard Reeves in the next segment. So here's what I'm just going to say. If you want to know how to get involved on a local level in politics, if you want to know how to be effective in a small way, in obviously an easier way than trying to get, you know, say in Congress or a mayor job or something like that, my next guest, Richard Reeves, is going to lay it out. Now, I already told you, he called me yesterday to discuss all this on the phone, and I'm just like, Richard, you know, this intel you're giving me is so key right now. You know, it's nice for me to know this, and it's nice for the people that are spying on our phone call to hear this too, but we need to get the audience to hear this, because there might be one person in the audience. If what Richard Reeves is going to say in the next segment motivates one person in this audience to take action politically, I consider that a total victory, 110%. If two people do it, it's orgasmic level victory. So stick around to hear from Richard Reeves in the next segment, because people always ask, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? And everyone has different talents. Everyone has different skills. Everybody has a different role to play. And what Richard Reeves is going to say could be the role for you, could give you an idea. And I hope it does. So we're going to get into that with Richard Reeves on the other side, a political expert, really, when it comes to the logistics of politics. And I'm just pile driving through this news. But let me just do this. Let's have a laugh here for a second. You know, I thought I had two of these videos from the Chick-fil-A protest, guys, because we have the one. Go ahead and roll the one. Is 15 the one where the chick is speaking? Is that the one where she's giving a little speech? Or is that one where they're laying down in Toronto? Let's go then to clip 15 and listen to this deranged leftist that hates chicken sandwiches.
The destruction of factory farming and oppressed bodies of the chicken are very anti-indigenous. This is not
please just roll that on B-roll while I'm talking. Let me just try to explain this to a radio audience. First of all, this lady talking has a t-shirt on that says, "Nobody knows I'm a lesbian." Your t-shirt says you're a lesbian. Okay. All right. Nobody knows you're a lesbian as you literally try to rub it in front of everyone's face. I mean, literally like, hey, it's like, I don't want to get dark here, but that's literally like, I mean, folks, this is a joke. This is like the drag queen story time where the guys are walking around with glitter on their Johnson, and then they say, "Nobody knows I have glitter on my Johnson." And you're literally shaking your glitter-covered Johnson in front of the children. This woman has a shirt on, "Nobody knows I'm a lesbian." Yeah, you're just shouting at the top of your lungs. I mean, what is with these people? It's the weirdest thing. They just want to shove their ideology down your throat and then pretend they're the victim.
Destruction.
All right. So anyway, and then you got a bunch of weirdos. Are those cross-dressers in the background? Look, I don't want to be rude, okay? I really don't care what people do with their free time, but this is hilarious. They do a die-in at the new Chick-fil-A in Toronto. Keep rolling that. The funny thing is, so they're all laying there on the ground with their gay flag, and can I say it? Should I just say it? I think I can say it, but I don't want to get in trouble. But I wonder if I can say it. Anyway, they got their little flag, and they're laying on the ground, and the people that want a chicken sandwich are just walking over them, laughing at them. It's like, hey, can I get a chicken sandwich? No, I'm gay. Okay, can I get a chicken sandwich, though? No, don't you know I'm gay? Nobody knows I'm gay. It just says so on my shirt. Didn't you see my flag? Don't buy a chicken sandwich. Well, we're always pushing boundaries here. My next guest, this is serious stuff with Richard Reeves, but I have no problem pushing the limits. I'm proud of what we do here at the War Room to push those limits. And I'll just go ahead and say it. The Chick-fil-A protesters had their Fagatron flags. All right? So we're just going to leave it at that. Nothing against the Fagatrons. We're just trying to accurately portray the Fagatron flag that they proudly fly. Of course, that flag, that Fagatron flag was actually touching the ground. That's sacrilegious. So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Infowars.com War Room, brought to you by InfowarsStore.com. Big specials happening at InfowarsStore.com. I think it's the last day for DNA Force Plus to get 50% off and a free bottle of Carnivore with that purchase. I think we're about out of DNA Force Plus, too. So it's limited time on that deal, limited availability on the DNA Force Plus before we get the next run. We really need to just sell out of a bunch of supplements right now so that we can place a new order. And so that's why we are literally giving away the probiotic enzymes specifically for red meat digestion, Carnivore, a bottle free with a purchase of DNA Force Plus, which is already 50% off, and a bottle free when you purchase Super Male Vitality, which I am a big fan of. It's all at InfowarsStore.com, and your support at InfowarsStore.com, of course, makes everything we do here possible. Okay, now, Richard Reeves has reported for InfoWars before, and he's very knowledgeable on a macro level about local politics and the logistics of small government politics and how individuals can take action without investing too much on their own. And so Richard calls me, and he's explaining this last night, and he's talking about how this window of time we're in right now is imperative to spur people into taking political action and getting into office. Yes, getting into office. Talking about you, the audience, that wants to know, what can I do? You can get into office. It's not as hard as you might think. And so last night, Richard calls me. He's explaining this on the phone. And I said, Richard, this is too important for you to just tell me. People need to hear this. Let's get you on air. We can't just be having this conversation for you and I and then everybody spying on us, listening on this phone call to have. So, folks, listen closely here. Because a lot of people wonder, what can I do? How can I get involved? But they're not necessarily good at media, or they don't want to do this or that. Maybe they want to get involved politically. So, Richard, explain to me what you were explaining last night, how this period of time is important for people to get involved if they want to get involved politically, but how there's small positions, election positions, just different positions that you don't have to invest too much in, but you can still get involved, take action, maybe even win, and have a political victory.
Well, Owen, first of all, thank you very much for having me. And let me just say, I'm probably not the first one to say this, but you obviously have any number of stovepipe hats being bought for you as gifts, in at least by Christmas, okay? So you really got that Abraham-looking thing going there, Lincoln thing. So anyway, about
yes,
this.
It's seven issue. Score and 7 years ago now, Richard. It's been seven score and 7 years ago now.
Well, it's all very exciting to see you develop, and to see you develop even into the Abraham Lincoln-esque character is great. But briefly, what it is right now, this is a golden window of time in the election system. This happens every 2 years, actually. So what we need to be thinking about is the year coming up to the primaries right around this time. Remember, Trump came down the escalator, and it was like June or July of 2015. Here it is, September of 2019. This is when candidates are announcing that they're running for office, they're running for Congress, they're running for a state office, they're running for any number of offices. Well, guess what? They need humans to help them and come to their team. And this is when they have the most wide open door to talk with you. And this is when, like right now, if you're an InfoWarrior in Iowa or any of the nearby adjacent surrounding states where you're within an easy drive of a lot of these locations in Iowa where these presidential candidates on the Democrat side are speaking. This would be a great time for InfoWarriors to engage up there. Take your smartphones, your video cameras, etc. Go in there and ask questions directly of these Democrat candidates. Get them on record what their stance is on the Second Amendment, on gun rights. Get them on record what their stance is with Google, Facebook, and Apple being surveillance state culprits and also totally violating the First Amendment of American people. Get them on record for any number of constitutional violations. And the thing of it is right now up in Iowa, you can get one-on-one conversations going with presidential candidates. Once you get past these primaries in Iowa, it gets much more difficult. But right there, and that's just a microcosm of what you can do with all candidates nationwide. You should be going to events, if at all possible, try to do like one event a week, volunteer for a campaign for a good candidate. Heck, volunteer for a campaign for a bad candidate and help educate them, help break them out of the box, help bring them up to speed. And then the other thing is, if you're not working for a campaign, just go to some of the events of people running for local office, from dog catcher to Supreme Court to governor to, you know, you name it, senator, house rep, everything. Take once a week visit to one of these events and you will literally be able to have conversations with these people. Heck, I worked a campaign for the governorship in 2009. I worked for Deborah Medina. I've still got her cell phone in my contact list. You can end up with cell phones contact list in your phone for these candidates, which you'll be able to reach them and text them later when they're doing unconstitutional activities. You can get in touch with them. So right now, approaching them, you don't have to have a suitcase full of money. Once they get elected, basically, they're not going to see you unless you do have a suitcase full of money. But right now, you can go talk to them.
And what you're saying here is that because we're in this period of time where it's like, okay, we have to focus on the upcoming elections coming in 2020. We have to decide strategies, who's running, what offices. And like you said, presidential candidates, they're going to be in Iowa. They're going to be going and doing speaking events. They're going to be all over. Get there. Stand up. Say something. Get a viral video. Take action. Now's the time. And I'll just say this, because I talk to people about this a lot for obvious reasons, because I'm doing it constantly. But people ask, like, how can I get involved? How do you confront these people? Or they say, where do you get the courage? Well, it all comes from within. I don't know how to really vocalize it, Richard, but when you're in that moment, you have to seize it. I'm not trying to, you know, take the old Eminem song, but like literally that's it. You have to recognize you're in the moment. The moment's going to pass. And once the moment passes, it's gone. You can't get it back, that moment. So you can go to Iowa or you can go anywhere where a presidential candidate, local government, whatever, they're there at an event. And you're sitting there and they're talking, or, you know, someone's asking questions, you can get a question in. Don't be nervous. Recognize that this is the moment. Seize the moment. Get the viral video. Ask the question. Or maybe don't even make a scene. If you see a candidate or something and you just want to walk up and say, hey, you know, I think you're doing this wrong, or I think you're doing that wrong, or what is your stance on this? The point is, in this window of time, you are going to have access to politicians. You're going to have the ability to even get involved in political campaigns, and you're going to have moments. You might as well take advantage. Just like the other day when I'm sitting there at the city council deal, I didn't plan on speaking up and shouting out, but after sitting there for 30 minutes with a bunch of chowder heads talking at me, I realized this is a waste of time. I'm not going to get anything out of this unless I take action and seize this moment. So that's what it's all about. But on the other side, Richard, talk about how people can get involved by literally running for certain offices, local government, small government, election officials, all kinds of different ways people get involved. Richard, let's talk about that on the other side. This is the InfoWars.com War Room. I'm your host, Abraham Lincoln.
InfoWars.com/show.
to the Infowars.com War Room. Brought to you by InfowarsStore.com. Richard Reeves is my guest. Last segment talking about how you're going to have access to politicians over the next months. This is your opportunity to get a viral video, get a hard question in, get involved if you want in some of these campaigns. But another thing, Richard, that you're well aware of and you understand at a pretty deep, knowledgeable level is small government positions, local government positions, election positions where people can get in office, literally get into an office without investing too much of their own. But these are important roles to fill nonetheless, especially if you want to avoid them from getting filled by a leftist progressive. Well, we'll just leave it at that. So, Richard, what are some ways where people can get involved locally on a smaller level, but is also very important to take action?
Okay. Well, that would be to run for your precinct chairmanship in your precinct, also known as precinct captains. Different places have different names for them. But bottom line is, we've got enough people. We've got enough info warriors in this country. We elected Trump. We have more than enough people to fill every precinct chair, every precinct captainship in the United States, and thereby own the Republican Party. That means each of us would be a freedom-loving American that's in the leadership of the Republican Party. Now, to run for precinct chair, just simply contact the Republican Party in your county and follow through the different steps. There's different rules. You got to do different things. But bottom line, it's very inexpensive. Usually there's not even a fee involved. And if there is a fee, it'll be a nominal fee, maybe 50 or 100 bucks filing fee or something like that. But now is the time to be making those filings to run for precinct chair. And see, that's another thing is when you approach these other candidates for office and you reach out with your hand to shake their hand, and you say, hey, I'm Richard Reeves and I'm running for precinct chair in precinct so-and-so, so-and-so, Travis County or whatever county you're in, then all of a sudden they're going to treat you like you've got a suitcase of money because you are an influencer. You are somebody that's important, especially in your local area, in your precinct. So that's why it's critical to be running for precinct chair. Check out who's currently the chairman, the precinct chair in your precinct. You may have a patriot already there. If you do, you can support them, work with them. They'll show you the ropes. If there's nobody, a lot of these chairs are actually vacant. It's amazing how many of these chairs are vacant. Oh, and there's probably 50 to 100.
Well, and that's what I was going to go to next. So let's actually bear down on this. I was going to say, you might find out that you could just literally walk right into a seat as a precinct chair, pun not intended. Absolutely. So there could be a situation where you might not even have to compete.
Right, right. The way that works is you'll make a filing. Nobody else files you against you. And in the primary, the precinct chairs here in Texas get elected in the primaries. They don't run for general election because you're already in one party or the other, so you don't need to be in the general election. You get elected in the primaries here in Texas. Your state may vary, so you have to check how your state works. But yes, if you're the only one that filed for the precinct chair in your precinct, then they won't even put your name on the ballot because you already won by default because nobody even filed. So absolutely, you can walk into one of those positions. Now, that does come with some minimal duties and obligations. You should be active in your precinct. You should be talking to your friends and neighbors in your precinct. That's another thing is each of us, as part of prepping, should be doing that anyway. We should be going around our precinct, find out who are fellow Trump supporters, find out who's who in your precinct. I guarantee you, after campaigns in 08 with Ron Paul, campaigns in 2012 with Ron Paul, and then 2016 with Trump, you're going to find many, many Trump supporters, Ron Paul supporters. You're going to find info warriors out there. You just have to look for them and get connected. And like I say, run for precinct chair, because that's another workaround around this First Amendment censorship going on with Google, YouTube, Facebook, Apple, Twitter, etc. Is it's been adjudicated that not even Trump can block somebody on his social media, on his Twitter. He cannot block any users contacting him. And so arguably, the case hasn't come up yet, but if each of us running for precinct chair goes and creates our social media accounts and just right off the top of the bat just announces, hey, I am running for precinct chair, any blocking or any taking down of my my social media account is a violation of the First Amendment. Just put it out there right there, and I guarantee you there's going to be court cases over that, and I know we'll be victorious. So that'll be another workaround around to get this First Amendment violation that's going on with Google, YouTube, Apple, et cetera.
Yeah, and you know they're not going to stop doing that. So you begin to apply pressure with a situation like that that says, oh, you really are now blocking political candidates. I mean, that's election meddling, which they try to turn around and say they're trying to stop from affecting our elections, and then they engage in it. So it would just be another example illustrating how that's what's going on. So, Richard, final 2 minutes of this segment. Any other advice for people that want to maybe get involved politically, or any opportunities in this time period as we're really getting ready to ramp up for the 2020 presidential election? Any other ways people get involved? Any other advice?
Well, that's the big one. Precinct chair, absolutely go visit these rallies. A lot of these events. Listen, I went to a Don Kasich event in Iowa back in 2016. There were only about 25 people in the room. I could have sat there and talked to John Kasich for 10 minutes and asked him questions. Now, I got some video in, and I got some questions in, and we got them out. And so right now, if that happened at the presidential candidate level in Iowa, there's a lot of these events that these candidates at the lower levels are doing where there's 10 people attending. There's 15 people attending. Once you get involved in running for a precinct chair in your Republican Party, you're going to be at executive committee meetings where these candidates line up and speak to you and address your county Republican Party. So that'll be prime opportunity to ask questions of all these guys. So get them on video, get those videos up, get them on their stance on Second Amendment, First Amendment, surveillance state, you name it, delivering dumbing down of America, you name it. Let's get these guys on record. They're showing themselves now more than ever, both on the Rhino Republican side and especially on the Democrat squad leftist side. They're going crazy. So we've got an opportunity to really get these guys running scared and not even run for office once they get exposed for what they're really doing. So let's expose the heck out of them and take it all over.
Absolutely. And like you said, you know, you were at the Kasich event. They try to build up these Democrat candidates like they're some huge deal, like people care. Man, half these Democrat candidates have an event, not even 100 people show up. So you can get the access, folks, but you have to have
I guarantee you in Iowa, I bet you a lot of these candidates are lucky to get 20 or 30 people attending. You could probably have 5, 10, maybe even 15 minutes private one-on-one conversation. You could be having one of your friends, your spouse, whoever, running video camera for you, and you could get it. You could just get all kinds of information, and that can end up actually in these campaign commercials and ads, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And remember how fast Jeb Bush got taken down back in the primaries. Jeb Bush, we asked him twice about 9/11, the 12 pages or the 23 pages about the 9/11 investigation.
Yeah, he scoffed and acted like you were a crazy person. It went totally viral. Richard Greaves, great stuff as always, folks. But that's what you can do, folks. The opportunity awaits you. You have to seize it, though. We'll be right back.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Trigger warning.
This broadcast contains subject matter
that might trigger
liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
Infowars.com War Room. My next guest, friend of the show, Jacob Engels, joins me now, and I'm just trying to find out where Jacob is even allowed to be on the internet now. So I'm just so inundated with news. I haven't even done enough time to research this, but I probably wouldn't be able to find out even if I could. Jacob Engels joins us now from the Central Florida Post. Jacob, where are you even allowed anymore on the internet? Are you just totally banned everywhere? Now you can't even do commerce with PayPal? Jacob, where are you allowed to exist?
Well, I've been totally depersoned, Owen. They don't allow me on PayPal. They don't allow
me on Twitter.
All right,
ban Jacob Engels. He's off. We don't want him. He's a bad man. I'm just kidding. How does that feel, though?
You look at what Paul Joseph Watson has said about the social credit score. It's not some theoretical idea of what could happen in America. It's already happened.
Silence this man. He's not allowed to speak. Okay, I'm just kidding. Last time I do it. Sorry, I'm just making an example. Go ahead.
It's okay.
No, shut down his commerce. No, I'm just kidding. Go. Turn me off. Shut me off. No, I'm just kidding. All right, I'm done having fun. I will quit interrupting you. Jacob Engels, you have a platform here. Go ahead.
Absolutely. So with PayPal, for example, I've been a member of PayPal for probably close to a decade. And I've done thousands of large and small transactions. I use PayPal to do non-political work. I use PayPal to pay graphic designers and data entry people that are helping me out on projects. These are people who deserve to earn a living. But now PayPal has said they don't deserve to earn a living because I'm somehow a hateful person who poses a risk to the rest of their users. How do I pose a risk?
But wait a second. Does PayPal realize how homophobic they're being by banning you?
Exactly. So a LGBTQIAXYZ conservative poses a risk to the community on PayPal? Are you kidding me? Antifa can use PayPal. Domestic terrorist organization Antifa can use PayPal, and I can't.
But wait a second. Jacob, are you in Florida right now?
No, I'm in Las Vegas.
Las Vegas? Well, either way, I'm stunned. How did Jacob Engels manage to make it from the die-in in front of a Toronto Chick-fil-A all the way to Vegas in 20 minutes? What sort of secret technology do you harness?
Well, David Hogg has shared with me a few important tips of how to get to the scene of the crime very quickly.
It's bike, right? He rode his bike. Is what he said.
That's another waste of space. I mean, I hate to say that, and I hate to say that he is just such a disagreeable, horrible human being. And he never really had a chance. You see how his parents let him behave on those interviews with Vice and others, where he's dropping F-bombs and he's being disrespectful? This is the culture that we're allowing kids to grow up in now, where there's no
respect. Well, he actually celebrated a mass shooting. I mean, David Hogg literally celebrated a mass shooting on Twitter. But we don't need to get distracted. So you're banned from PayPal. What about, you've been banned from Twitter. I have no idea what goes on Facebook. I'm not even allowed to be there. So are you on Facebook? Do you have YouTube? I mean, where is the bad man Jacob Engels allowed to exist?
Well, people can find me at centralfloridapost.com. They've banned me on Facebook. They banned me on Twitter, Venmo, PayPal, Cash App will probably be next. I mean, there's a lyric from a band, Bright Eyes, where they say, "You're as good as dead without a bank account." And that is the God's honest truth. These people eventually don't want us to have bank accounts. They don't want us to be able to earn money or to participate in commerce. And how many places can you rent? Can you secure loans from without a bank account? You can't do straight cash anymore. It's really forbidden.
Right. Well, and I'm just trying to figure, too, because more and more, whether we like it or not, say it's part of an agenda or not, more and more digital currency exchange is the way things are going. Again, whether we like it or not, we can have the debate, but it's true. You look at Venmo, you look at PayPal. Now they got the chip on the credit card. Soon they'll put it in your hand or whatever. In fact, Amazon is now actually testing this. Well, I guess it's actually Whole Foods, but it's owned by Amazon. Biological payments, no chip, just literally your DNA, your skin, to pay for things at Whole Foods. So this is all coming out. So you're kind of like getting the first wave of the test of what happens when you're not, at a passing grade or whatever on the social credit score. I mean, so you're getting a bit of that flavor right now where, Jacob Engels is a bad man. He likes free speech. He likes some conservative politics. He's not allowed to engage in commerce. He's not allowed to exist on the internet. I mean, what is it like to get the dehuman, to get the social credit score failing grade where you can't even, you're not allowed to engage in commerce. You're not allowed to engage in communication.
it's really kind of depressing. I'm going to be very honest about it. It is depressing to see your entire life's work be denigrated.
No. You know what? Let's be honest about this. I don't mean to cut you off, but seriously, don't be shy here, Jacob, because it really is depressing. It really is depressing. And for people that have to deal with this the first time, that's when it's the most depressing. I mean, you've been through this for a while, so you're kind of used to it by now, but you're at a whole nother level. But I'm telling you, man, like, it doesn't bother me as much the fact that I gain 1,000 new followers a day and my Twitter account never goes up. Fine, whatever. But to new people that are trying to make a name for themselves that get banned off YouTube, for new people that are trying to make a name for themselves that get kicked off of Twitter or get shadow banned, they start to get a flavor, a taste of that depression. You got the full force, so don't hesitate, man. Nobody's judging you here. They're taking away your right to engage in commerce and communication. I mean, anybody 100%. That would experience that would be feeling the same way.
I've had clients walk away from me that have been in 10-year relationships with me from a business standpoint. I've had friends walk away, family members who say, well, you know, maybe you should just keep your mouth shut and you won't lose your Instagram or you won't lose this or you won't lose that. I mean, do you really want to be erased from the internet? And so that's the thing that people don't realize. Not only is it these big tech corporations that are attacking you and dehumanizing you and pushing you to depression, what they do affects how your family, your friends, your clients view you. And nobody else wants to be taken off Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. It's ingrained into our daily life. So their answer is, well, just shut your mouth. So it's a 1-2 punch. They ban you, and then the looming threat of anybody else who might support you or might speak out in your favor being banned causes all of your support base to crumble from underneath you. So you're a man or a woman alone in the universe. I mean, Laura Loomer has been banned off of everything. I'm surprised she's even allowed to have a URL right now. But she keeps forging forward because that is the cause of freedom and liberty. That's why InfoWars, that's why you, Owen, that's why Alex, that's why Harrison and everyone else that helps make InfoWars a powerhouse of freedom and liberty is so crucial to this movement, because we still have a voice on this platform. We are not banned from being human and having a thought.
Well, and it's just amazing to me because they'll say, oh, you know, Jacob, oh, you know, you did this to yourself. You opened your big fat mouth. You had a political opinion. You're a bad guy. Why don't you just shut up, Jacob? It wouldn't even matter. You could shut up. You could never make another political statement in your life. You could take off your free Roger Stone t-shirt. Roger Stone did nothing wrong. You could take off your Make America Great Again hat. It wouldn't matter. They'd still shut you down. They'd still stop you from engaging.
There's no putting the toothpaste back in the tube at this point. Once you've had one thought that is against the groupthink, they've already labeled you. They've already scheduled you for destruction. So you could come out in the public square and flagellate yourself and cry for mercy. Oh, please let me back on Facebook or Twitter. All they would do is laugh and you'd look like a fool.
And that's what they've been doing. I mean, it's just incredible to me that people can't see this, but it is. I mean, this is like, I can't believe it. The social credit episode of Black Mirror, that's what this is. I mean, maybe a little more nuanced, but that's where it's all going.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
InfoWars.com War Room, where we use our third eye every day, not blind. Jacob Engels is my guest, and, you know, we can talk about how Jacob has been removed off the internet and off all social media. Now he can't even engage in commerce, but, you know, Jacob's a smart guy. He covers news for Central Florida Post, so I don't want to just have him on to do that. I want to get his take on some developing news stories as well. Jacob he's in the club as one of the most banned people out there. And that's simply because he likes to speak his mind and he goes against the establishment and he dare go in public and support Trump as a gay man. He dare go in public with a bullhorn and stand up to lying politicians. He dare have a political opinion. How dare he? And so he gets removed from social media and from PayPal and other apps where you can engage in commerce. So they'd love to see Jacob just float out in the ocean and die, probably. But he's a fighter, and he's not going to do that, and he's with us now. So, but Jacob, aside from the fact you're one of the more banned people out there, and it's always fun to have you on the air, you know, let's talk about some of this social media activity that's going on when it comes to the targeted censorship. Now, it's coming out today. There have been rumors, but more and more is beginning to get out as far as the action is concerned. Wall Street Journal states to launch Google, Facebook antitrust probes. TheHour.com, New York announces antitrust investigation into Facebook, kicking off bipartisan effort. So you've got attorney generals in a bunch of different states doing this. You do have some leadership in Congress looking into this as well. But Jacob, I want to see if you agree with me here. While this is good, finally, perhaps there'll be some action, some investigation. To me, it's too late. Swift action was needed a long, long time ago. This, to me, is just lip service, not saying there's not genuine interest here, but it's going to be too late. These big tech companies are miles ahead of our government when it comes to the censorship and everything, really. In fact, just yesterday, you had big tech meeting with Big Brother to talk about securing elections. I mean, that is just... That is a slap in the face to the average conservative that's getting censored right now on social media. So what do you think is really going on behind the scenes? And do you agree with me that even if there is an antitrust probe that's about to be kicked off, it's probably going to be too little too late? These big tech companies, they're miles ahead. They'll erase any of their steps, their algorithms, their code, anything before the Fed or these attorney generals can get in. What do you think?
100%. They've already deplatformed and depersoned millions upon millions of people and are censoring or shadow banning millions upon millions more. You can't fix this problem right now. Even if you disband Facebook, disband Twitter, these people have more money than God. They rig the political system. They will come out just fine. They will come out on top. And make no mistake, have no illusions about the fact that if we break up big tech, that all of a sudden I'm going to get my Twitter back and I'm going to get my Facebook back and I'm going to get my PayPal back. Not going to happen for me, folks. These people have already done what they need to do ahead of the 2020 election. And there's simply not enough time and not enough interest, in my opinion, to deal with this before the 2020 elections. You have maybe one or two members of Congress, Congressman Matt Gaetz out of Florida, and maybe in some respects Dan Crenshaw out of Texas, who really take interest in these issues, and all these other country club Republicans are asleep at the wheel.
And again, even these attorney generals are asleep at the wheel. They need to understand these people act swiftly at Google and Facebook and Twitter and the like. Look at what they did to InfoWars. Look at what they did to Jacob. You have to act swiftly, but they're not. By the time they get to their front door and they're smiling and ready to shake hands and say, hey, we're here for the anti-probe, Facebook and Google will gladly open their doors and pretend like they're cooperating because they've already cleared out all the evidence. It's all digital anyway.
Yep.
And who even knows? These people could be so far advanced in what they're doing with their tech, the average layman or anybody might get in there and not even know where to look.
Exactly. And you have verified, documented evidence of Facebook collaborating with the Council on American Islamic Relations, which is a front group for the Muslim Brotherhood, a terrorist organization, Facebook goes to them and says, well, you know, you're part of this review panel, and Jacob said that he doesn't want Muslim rape gangs in the United States. How do you feel about that? Oh, it's bigoted. Oh, it's Islamophobic. I don't want anyone getting raped. I don't want anyone getting hurt. And if there's one particular group that are perpetrating these behaviors overseas in the United Kingdom, we've seen this, no-go zones and the sort, I don't want that same type of toxic culture coming over here. So when you stand up and you speak out against those things, Facebook is going to verified terrorist front groups to get their opinion on if you're Islamophobic or not. What do you think they're going to say?
Well, and we all know, again, this isn't something that they're looking at a case-by-case basis and doing a legitimate measurement of what's the context, you know. No, it's all political. They say, oh, you look like you lean conservative. Yeah, we'll strike you down. YouTube is allowing videos from a murderer, a child murderer. These all got flagged, reported. YouTube said, nope, these are okay to stay, the murderer's videos. But if Jacob Engels wants to have a channel, they'll shut it down. If InfoWars wants to have a channel, they'll shut it down. But, you know, if you want to go on there and promote pedophilia or something like that, you know, YouTube says that's fair use. But here's the incredible thing, Jacob. Despite all the censorship, despite all the attacks, despite all the fake news, InfoWars is still here. You're still at the Central Florida Post. Laura Loomer somehow still survives. She has her own website. She's still getting active. We're not going to stop. We're still finding ways to have victory. Meanwhile, another leftist site has had to shut its doors. Think Progress. I'm sure this is music to your ears. Not that we celebrate businesses having to be shut down. We're not the ones that caused this. We're not the ones claiming, hey, they're this, shut them down, or attacking them. They did this to themselves. Think Progress, a top progressive news site, has just closed its doors. Got really famous and popular during the Obama years. Obama probably funded them. They ran out of funding, if you want to know the truth. So, Jacob, how do you measure the fact that even though conservatives and InfoWars, all these people are being censored, but continue to fight, continue to have victories, meanwhile, these leftist groups like Vice News, like Think Progress and others that are just getting money hand over fist given to them are having to close their doors?
Well, it's very interesting. That article that you're referencing and some of the commentary about Think Progress is very telling into the mind of how liberals and progressives view themselves. You have all of these people on Twitter saying, oh my gosh, this is killing journalism. Oh my gosh, the right wing has all of these well-funded websites and they have a media machine and we've lost Think Progress. This is a crime against journalism. What are they smoking, Owen? They have almost every major mainstream media news organization in the entire country. We have InfoWars, Breitbart, which is kind of sometimes Daily Caller, The Federalist, Daily Wire. We have a handful, and they have dozens upon dozens, if not hundreds, of well-funded.
Oh, and they sit here and they talk about systematic this, systematic that. They have the whole system. Literally, all the leftist garbage gets promoted. It gets promoted in the NFL. It gets promoted in the NBA. It gets promoted on all the ABC news networks on TV. They get promoted on social media. If you're a conservative Trump supporter, you get shut down. But it's like the same thing. That they don't even live in reality, Jacob. It's like you're probably, I mean, again, you're probably homophobic in these people's eyes. If you're a black Trump supporter, you know, you're a KKK member. These people don't even live in reality. It's like, I don't even know. I'm not even intending on talking about, like, you know, psychedelic drugs. There's this thing I was going to talk about with Johns Hopkins studying this stuff. But it's like literally like it's like Satan is causing them to produce some hallucinogen and they literally can't even see reality or something.
And not even from a religious standpoint. Satanic, when I think about that, is just pure evil, right? There's good and there's evil. And they really are demonically possessed. When you see some of the reasoning that they're making, when you see the reality that they claim is the world around them, which is so far from what it is. They have Think Progress loses 12 staffers. Oh, Huffington Post wouldn't let their people unionize. Oh, it's the end of journalism. Are you kidding me? There are conservative writers like me who don't have the ability to put up their own website, who don't have the ability or time or the knowledge to run their own publication, but are great writers and great journalists.
Jacob, we got to go to break. Where can people find you? CentralFloridaPost.com?
CentralFloridaPost.com. Thank you so much, Owen.
Jacob Engels, folks, one of the most banned names out there. How dare we have Jacob Engels on? Oh, yeah, we dare.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show. Be no hiding it now. Any and all views that go against the totalitarian left will be silenced, regardless of whether or not those views violated any policy. This movement that defies our First Amendment rights is led by a growing uptick in Marxism rotting America's higher education. Back in 2016, Campus Reform wrote, "Professors Joshua Dunn of the University of Colorado and John A. Shields of Claremont McKenna College discovered about 18% of social scientists in the United States self-identify as Marxists, compared to only about 5% who identify as conservatives. And that was pre-Trump administration."
You know, sure, maybe there's a couple more lefties than you'd expect, but it's having no meaningful impact on our ability to have serious discourse.
That would be false. In a study, gender studies, for example, the field is defined by a set of principles that most conservatives wouldn't agree with. For example, the fashion now is intersectionality. And you will find many, many departments now, but especially gender studies, explicitly saying we are committed to intersectional analysis of society. And that means they view American society as a matrix of oppression. There is a fallacy at the heart of this theory, which is that ostensibly it's trying to discourage sexism, racism, classism, but to discourage it, it practices them. Everything that the intersectional feminists say that the patriarchal oppressor does, to them, that they are excluded, silenced, marginalized, otherized, they actually do that, they try to do that to the guilty, sinful male privileged elite. And so you have a lot on the campus now, a lot of very ugly situations.
Recently, a team of George Washington University researchers released a paper last month which demands the mass banning of conservatives on social media and the reconstruction of a COINTELPRO-esque infiltration of so-called hate groups. The term hate groups has morphed into a definition of any group the ADL and Silicon Valley deem counter to their globalist vision for the United States. And now the Federal Election Committee, led by liberal chairwoman Ellen Weintraub, is summoning Facebook, Google, and Twitter to a meeting on September 17th to address digital disinformation amid concerns that new forms of Russian-style social media manipulation will target the 2020 election, according to Politico. The Politico article goes on to reveal the event will address growing concerns about homegrown disinformation, too, as the Russian narrative twists in the wind. Apparently, it is now all hands on deck in a full-blown censorship rollout ahead of the 2020 election, which is already sizing up to be stolen by the Democrats.
And when I have to explain the Electoral College, I always get this kind of perplexed look.
It's like a tennis match, and if you win the set, then you get all the points. And
then they say, but why do people accept that? And what I have historically said is, well, in the end, it usually doesn't matter. Historically, most elections, the person who wins the Electoral College is also the person who wins the popular vote, so everybody's happy. But of course, more recently, that hasn't been happening all the time. And I worry that just like these other countries were, the people from other countries were confused about it, that people in our own country will come to feel that the result is not legitimate. There is no evidence of rampant voter fraud in 2016 or really in any previous election. People have studied this. Academics have studied this. Lawyers have studied this. The government has studied this. Democrats have studied this. Republicans have studied this. And no one can find any evidence of rampant voter fraud, either historically or particularly in the 2016 elections. I think it is damaging to our democracy to spread information like that is if there is no proof. Now, if there is proof, then we really need to be taking action about that. These are serious allegations.
88-year-old Irvin Minnezuski of Loveland died on September 2011. 6 weeks after his death, a vote was cast in his name.
We did find a single voter that did vote, a deceased voter that did vote, unfortunately.
So dead person voted?
Dead person voted, yep.
The same records that still showed Emily as a qualified voter for this coming November 2nd election recorded her as actually voting in the presidential elections 2 years ago. But that's impossible because she was cremated 2 months before the election.
Your vote gets discounted.
here today. And here's what we're going to do as Joseph Saladino, also known as Joey Salads, Saladino for Congress, is on the line. We're going to get him on in just a moment. I just want to let the audience know, here's how this is going to go. We're going to have Joey on for two segments, and then I'm going to do a news blitz. And then in the final segment, since it's Friday and I didn't take many calls this week, I know it's just one segment, but in the final segment, I'm going to squeeze in three or four phone calls. I know it's not much, but it's Friday. I didn't take any phone calls. I barely took any this week, and we want to take some phone calls today. So it'll be one segment, but we'll get in three or four calls. So now you know what's going to be happening here in the next about 52 minutes here on the Infowars.com War Room. Now, an interesting concept is the social media star, the YouTube star, the internet phenom running for office. How would it go? How will it be perceived? What kind of success could we see? Well, Joey Salads, or Joseph Saladino, is that test case. He's been on before. We've covered this. And he's been very active while campaigning, getting a lot of attention. So much so, in fact, that Eric Swalwell, the failed presidential candidate, just in general, awkward individual, Eric Swalwell claimed that Joseph was a Nazi, literally said he was a Nazi, which is, of course, so ridiculous, it almost doesn't even deserve commentary, but it happened, here we are. And Joey, you're considering, I don't know how much of this was tongue-in-cheek, we didn't talk about this before air, but you said you're considering filing a lawsuit against Eric Swalwell for calling you a Nazi. You asked your audience on social media, your supporters, if this was something that they wanted to see you take on. I'm not sure if you've made a decision or you're still considering it, but heck, what is it like to be called a Nazi by one of the biggest losers that you could probably ever find on planet Earth, Eric Swalwell?
It's actually quite funny being called a Nazi by him, especially considering how much of a meme he was during the election. So it's kind of flattering in a way that I'm getting attention by current members of Congress and ex-presidential candidates, although he lost in spectacular fashion before dropping out. But this sets a very dangerous precedent, especially coming from a sitting congressman to call me a Nazi. He's actually done this on two occasions now. The first time he did it was a few months ago, right before the Antifa confronted me and was attempting to assault me and threatening me. They were also calling me a Nazi. So it's very dangerous rhetoric to falsely call someone a Nazi, especially considering the implications of people on their side who will take that seriously and could potentially lead to direct harm against me. And then he did it again, but instead of calling me a Nazi, he called me a Nazi supporter. So he switched it up a little bit, but he's still trying to get the same exact message across. And no. A bunch of lawyers reached out to me after I made a post saying, hey, whoever wants to help me out with this case, reach out. And I'm talking to a few people, and they said that we definitely have a case here. The only iffy part is the fact that I am a public figure, so defamation laws apply differently.
That's interesting. But again, though, the key here is that they literally, at some level, I mean, at least they behave this way, they literally think that you're a Nazi. Like, they actually think that you're some reincarnation of the SS or something, or like a Gestapo. It's just like, it's so unreal. Again, like I said, it doesn't even deserve commentary, but this is what's happening. Eric Swalwell knows you're not a Nazi, or maybe he doesn't. Maybe, in general, Eric Swalwell's IQ is that of a ham sandwich. I don't know. Maybe he is that dumb. But the low-level people that are either in Antifa use this as cannon fodder to say, oh, we're going to go out on the streets and beat a Nazi, and then they just go out and commit all these hate crimes, but they get justified because people like Eric Swalwell say you're a Nazi. So, oh, we're just beating up a Nazi. Of course, it's all fake news, but they're literally doing it. Some of them literally believe this.
Yeah, it's one of the two things with Eric. It's either gross incompetence and not doing the proper research before tweeting out a photo, not looking up the context behind it, especially considering the dangerous implications of tweeting out said photo and name calling the way that he did. It's either gross incompetence or he's actually purposely misleading his audience to frame Republicans as Nazis, to frame me as a Nazi, which can lead to direct harm. Either way, it's incompetence or negligence. Either way, with both of those in mind, he should not be a congressman with both of those.
Well, and again, you talk about the context. If you are a Nazi, for people that don't know, again, you have been doing YouTube videos. How long have you been on YouTube?
I've been on YouTube for like 8 years by now.
I mean, you were one of the first people doing creative content on YouTube, viral content. I mean, you were one of the original creators while YouTube was getting big. And you did all kinds of crazy stuff. Some stuff you regret, some stuff you were proud of, all kinds of crazy stuff. You're an entrepreneur in your own way, a creative personality. You decide you want to run for Congress. So what? So you've been a YouTube star. That means you've done a lot of stuff. And one of the stunts you did was to put on a swastika armband as a stunt. You make it clear it's a stunt. You broadcast how it's a stunt. And you highlight how, okay, look, this is how they're perceiving us. And this is how easy it is to troll them. But again, that context considered, if a Nazi is going out LARPing as a Nazi, they're obviously not a Nazi. They don't care. It's all about attacking people they hate politically.
Yeah, it's the context of the video was clear that I'm not actually a real Nazi. And the full context of the video was to show that Trump supporters are not Nazis. And the
irony, right, because you walk around and the Trump supporters don't want to talk to you. They're like, why do you have a Nazi swastika on, you jerk?
Yeah, when I was doing this, there was a lot of higher profile Republican figures there that did not know the context of what I was doing. And they actually hated me for doing what I was doing after I explained to them the context after filming the video. After they saw the video released, they understood what I was doing. And they were like, wow, that was actually a really good video. You know, sorry, I got mad at you for that. And some of them I'm kind of friends with right now. But the full context of the video is to show Trump supporters are not Nazis. The irony is they're using that video and the photos from it, taking it out of context and using it to frame Trump supporters as Nazis. It did not stop celebrities like Mark Ruffalo from tweeting it out. It did not stop this really renowned left-wing critic of art, Jerry Saltz. Apparently, a lot of people know who this guy is in the film the art community. He tweeted it out. And the irony is a lot of them tweeted out saying, this is all you need to know about Joey Saladino, who's running for Congress. This picture says it all. That's what they said. And in its context, that's nothing that you need to know about me. So the left is taking whatever they can get. I filmed that video, I believe, in 2016 or 2017. After I filmed the video, nothing happened about the video. It fell on deaf ears. It went under the rug. It got a couple hundred thousand views. That was it. A year later, as I'm in Jamaica on vacation, the Charlottesville riots broke out. Then screenshots of images from that video started coming out saying Joey Salads, YouTuber, spotted at Charlottesville joining in the Nazi protest with a MAGA hat on. And the media had a shitstorm about it. Celebrities had a shitstorm. And there was a meme going.
All right, hold on. We're on terrestrial radio here. We got to dump the curse words. We're about to go to break anyway. But here's another illustration from your video, and we can talk more about this on the other side. It proves how all of this rhetoric being thrown around, some of it sticks, some of it doesn't. They say Trump supporters are Nazis. So you go out to a Trump event with a Nazi swastika, and you get rejected by Trump supporters because they're not Nazis. We claim that these leftist liberal progressives are communists and hate guns and want abortion. So we go out and say, hey, let's abort the babies. They say, yeah, kill the babies. We say, hey, let's give everybody free stuff. They say, yeah, free stuff for everybody. So it's like, we claim they are communists, want to take the guns, want to abort all the babies. They do that. They say that at their events. All of it sticks. That's who they really are. They say, well, Trump supporters are Nazis. You go with a Nazi symbolism to a Trump event, everyone there's like, hey, what the hell's wrong with you, jerk? Get out of my face. I don't want to talk to you. So it just shows how everything that the left tries to apply to the right is fake, and everything that the right tries to apply to the left is sad but true.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
make one more example about how we're talking about how the left really believes their own lies. It's beyond pathological lying. I mean, pathological lying is one thing, but then when you apply your lies to the real world and then still believe it, it's beyond that, and that's what this has become with people like Eric Swalwell saying that Joey Salads is a Nazi. Obviously, he's not. This doesn't even warrant a debate, but this is what we have to do now because the left believes their own bullcrap. It's like Eric Swalwell takes a dump in the middle of the street and says, wow, look at that fillet just came out of my ass. But this is what they believe. So I want to give another example of this and get Joey's take on this before we get into some other news he wants to talk about. Pamela Anderson, who was, well, we'll just say close friends with Julian Assange, was on The View and got into a debate about Julian Assange. But again, so The View panel honestly thinks Julian Assange is working for Trump or something. Just totally delusional. And so Pam Anderson has to explain how that's not true to their dismay. Here's the clip.
Interfered in the 2016 election by conspiring with Russia by releasing hacked emails, right, which hurt Hillary Clinton. It's almost like, is he responsible for giving us Trump? I mean, his timing and the way
the timing, but you know, Hillary Clinton is responsible for Trump. She's the one that she
is, because though, what is
yeah,
he
but
a
it's
Trump
true information.
When she
no.
Pause it right there. She's insinuating that, oh, but I liked Hillary, even though she was corrupt. We should have waited to expose the corruption until after she won the presidency. I mean, this is the lunacy from The View. Finish the clip.
Was he help Trump?
Well, he wasn't helping Trump. He was trying to tell the American people true information that Hillary Clinton was doing so they could make an educated choice. And I think FBI kind of put the nail in that coffin.
But do you mean to tell me that he had nothing on Trump? Come on. And that didn't get released.
I don't know. I don't know. If he had something on Trump, he would have put it out there.
And also that he had to release her emails. I mean, the question I have, though, is like, what would you say to, I know that doesn't mean everything should be. The question.
So again, Joey, this is another example. This whole panel on The View, they really think Assange is working for Trump. Like, oh, Assange must have held back information on Trump. He must have, even though all these different organizations have been investigating Trump for 3 years now. They have been before that, folks. There's nothing there. I mean, again, this just illustrates the delusion of these people. It's beyond pathological lying, Joey.
Yeah, they just need to constantly make up excuses. They need to try to figure out, because there was no way in their mind that Hillary Clinton could have lost or that Trump could have won, because they think Trump is the devil. They think nobody likes Trump. So they're just trying to come up and figure out all these ways to figure out how he cheated, how he manipulated. And it's all wrong. As you said, Trump's been under investigation for the last few years and they've come up. They've never found anything. But that doesn't stop the left from constantly pursuing that idea.
Now, meanwhile, they say Trump's not even allowed to, he's not even in charge of his own social media. If he blocks someone, he gets sued. But apparently this rule doesn't apply both ways. Occasional Cortex blocked you on Twitter. And when you tried to say, hey, wait a second, how come she can block me? What was the response?
So I filed a lawsuit against AOC for blocking me, and I'm still trying to work out the court date with that. They actually moved the district court to a different district because I wanted to file it in the same exact one where the Trump court case appeared in, but a motion was filed. I have to reread the letter to make sure I'm saying this correctly, but something was filed where it's actually getting moved. So I'm discussing with the lawyers if we should try to get it to move back or try to handle it to where it's going. We got to just figure out the legal reasons to why it's being moved based on where I live, where she lives, and where the action took place. So it's still a work in progress, and we really just want to see if the laws will apply equally from the left and the right.
You know, I wouldn't hold your breath, sadly, because we're not seeing anything applied equally right now. I mean, let's take this story to the next level. You know, obviously, it's no secret. InfoWars is pretty much totally banned off all of these social media platforms. You know, we get blocked. We can't put our videos up. We can't go live. And then if Trump wants to block somebody from spamming his Twitter posts, he gets sued and they say, oh, no, Trump can't do that. But if a liberal, progressive, communist, dangerous woman like AOC wants to block people, well, she has all the right to do that, apparently. She gets to block you. So, again, it just shows how the double standard exists. But it goes beyond that. YouTube lets weird pedophilic stuff on there. Same with Twitter. I have people now spamming my Twitter posts with porn. I mean, it's ridiculous. But if you want to be political and be a conservative or a nationalist, you get banned. Let me ask you this. Do you think the average American that's not even politically involved, do you think they're aware of the double standards, the two-tiered justice system, how it's one set of rules for one side of the political spectrum, another set of rules for the other side? Are people aware of this? Or is big tech just going to get away with all of this because the average American is too busy watching a football game?
I think for most of the average Americans, they are not aware of it. But as you see it creep and the bias creep into Hollywood, into social media, even into sports, as the bias is creeping in on all these mainstream outlets that the average American folk that's not interested in politics sees, they are becoming more privy to the bias. I do know that the younger generation coming up, because they were raised on the social media, They're seeing the bias, especially after the whole PewDiePie situation. I believe that red-pilled almost an entire generation of the youth. So as younger people are coming up, they're seeing it just in their own community. Same thing with sports. They're seeing it in their community. Same thing with Hollywood, people who are very involved in Hollywood, at least in the gossip world and blogs. They're starting to see it. It's either they're on the left and they're just going to ignore it, put a blind eye to it, or agree with it, or they're in the middle or to the right and they're seeing it and they're not happy with it.
You are running for office, Saladino, for Congress. Your opponent wants to take the Second Amendment away. Shortly here, we got about 90 seconds till you depart. Talk about your campaign, where people can find it, and what your plan is.
So you can go to SaladinoForCongress.com. I'm running in Staten Island, New York, and South Brooklyn. Right now it's held by a Democrat, but this is the only district, the only borough in all of New York City that voted for Trump. And right now you have a Democrat that hates Trump, and I'm running against a rhino Republican in the primary who also hates Trump, who's now pretending that she likes Trump because she needs to get the votes. So I'm trying to represent my district, my borough of Staten Island, and I want to take on the rest of New York City, because it's run by Democrats, and we need to start a red wave throughout this entire New York City to finally get this city red again. And it's going to have to start in Staten Island. It's going to have to start with me.
You're from Brooklyn, right?
I'm from Staten Island.
So that's great. So hopefully, you're obviously up against quite a challenge. We salute you for embarking on that challenge. We wish you the most success. But, you know, I'm hoping that by your example here, other people that felt that they never had a political future, or it just wasn't something they could even do because of who they are or what they are, I hope that people realize, no, you still can do it. So we wish you the best of luck. SaladinoForCongress.com. Joey Salads, thanks so much for joining us. And be careful. Eric Swalwell's telling people you're a Nazi, so watch out.
Thanks.
All right, there goes Joey Salads. Okay, when we come back, I'm going to do a news blitz, and we're going to open up the phone lines, and we're going to take calls in the last segment. So news blitz on the other side, then your phone calls. In this short break, go to InfoWarsStore.com, folks. InfoWarsStore.com.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
Oh!
Talk radio, great again. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at InfoWars.com/.
I have the documents. I'm a little tickled. I'm sorry. You just have to understand. When you have been under as much attack as InfoWars has been under, when you have had so many people trying to destroy you every day, like we have to deal with at InfoWars, yet here we are. And again, folks, I don't celebrate this. I'm not celebrating the fact that all these leftist publications and stuff have to close their doors and people lose their jobs. I'm not calling for that. We never have. It's by their own accord. But let me tell you something. Oh, you remember Judd Legum? God, what a douche. Judd Legum. Let me just add that Judd Legum is quite a faggotron. I invite Judd Legum to come on the show. I'm going to do it right now. I know he's tuned in. I know you're tuned in, Judd. Judd the Chud. I know Judd the Chud is tuned in listening right now. Judd, you're a total failure. The news publication you founded and got rich off of thanks to Obama, not organically, Think Progress had to close its doors. That sucks. It does. I'm sorry that your news publication had to close its doors, Judd, even though you attack us every day and want us shut down. Go do yourself. But come on the show and talk about this, Judd. I'd love to have you on, you coward. But again, we get attacked all day long. Shut InfoWars down. They're the worst. Shut them down. They're this, they're that. And then they get shut down. And then they claim we're shut down. And we're still here. Poor little Judd. Poor little Judd. Judd the Chud. What a douche, man. Can you imagine how lame these people are in real life? So anyway, though, now I'm finding out employees at Think Progress, get this, guys. Think Progress shuts down its doors, doesn't even tell its employees. Literally, they didn't even know until they saw the Daily Beast article. I'm sorry. It's just too funny. It's just too funny, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, you know, Alex Jones had the intel. He told you this was happening, folks. They all got billions of dollars in a stimulus package through Obama. That's how they ran. They literally ran off government money, folks. They stole it. They stole money. Obama stole money to fund these places. That's why they're all shutting down. So. Sayonara, Think Progress. Kiss my ass on the way out. Now, here, let's play one video before I do this news blitz, and I'll go ahead and open up the phone lines right now. We're going to take phone calls in the next segment, 888-201-2244. I'd like to hear from first-time callers, 888-201-2244. We're going to take calls. Just I only have one segment today for calls, but I'd like first-time callers, 888-201-2244. Now, let's go to this clip in New York. Some police are on the scene of a fire, and a local man decides he's going to throw a carton of milk at a police officer at the scene of a fire. Watch this. Do we have clip 16, guys? Yeah, there it is. So this guy shoots a video on his Snapchat, says, F the police, a cop sitting on scene of a fire, and they chuck a gallon of milk at him. Now, look at the restraint of these officers. By the way, it looks like that's a black police officer. It was a black guy that threw the milk at him. And this is happening all the time in New York. The guy that threw that carton of milk should have had his ass beaten. In fact, I would have liked to see the cops walk over there and beat him to a bloody pulp. Cop was black. What are they going to say? Racist cop beats black man. No, he's black cop. Couldn't say that, could you? They probably would anyway. Screw that. The cops are under attack every damn day. I'm not all the way for the police, just like I'm not all the way for anything. I'm saying, let's look at a case-by-case scenario. This jackass throws a carton of milk at a police officer, and the media and local jurisdictions have made the police so cucked, they can't even chase him down and beat his ass like he should have. That fool should have had his ass kicked. That fool's blood should have been on the streets. Yeah, I'm saying it. Yeah. What, you throw a carton of milk at somebody? You don't expect to get your ass kicked? What the hell is this? Now they're searching for this individual. They won't find him. It's out of control in New York. And where's Bill de Blasio? I don't know. Running for president, polling at 0%? What a joke. What was the video? Hey, do we have the video I just sent you guys? I don't even remember what it was now. My mind is... What was that video I sent you? Yes, at a Kamala Harris event. Again, nobody shows up, just like we were telling you. A man asks Kamala Harris a question, calls President Trump mentally retarded, and Kamala Harris says, good point. Listen.
People people of color. Mm-hmm. So I don't buy that argument that impeachment does not make sense, Senate will acquit. I don't buy that argument. There needs to be accountability. Yes. I mean, what are you going to do in the next 1 year to diminish the mentally retarded action of this guy?
Well said. Well said.
Well said. Kamala Harris, the dingbat bitch who wants to ban everything. It's the dumbest thing. She literally goes on air. There's a clip. It's like the most unbelievable thing. Hey, Kamala, should we ban light bulbs? Yeah, we'll ban that. Should we ban red meat? I'll ban that. Should we ban straws? I'll ban that too. I'll ban fracking. I'll ban you. I mean, that's literally Kamala Harris. She is a cartoon caricature of a real person. Now, let me do this news blitz here before we take your calls on the other side. Biological age of humans reversed by years in groundbreaking study. This is from The Independent. Folks, this is due to the chemicals in the food and the water. We sell supplements at InfoWarsStore.com to fight against this, like Nascent Iodine Survival Shield X2, like DNA Force Plus, like Extendawise. Look into the ingredients, the science. We sell the supplements that are trying to combat what's happening to humans. Again, biological age of humans reversed by years in groundbreaking study. Oh, by the way, they just found bones of a giant. You know what? I don't even have time to get into it. But human history is incredible. I'll just tell you that. Record low unemployment for blacks. That's CNN. This is a CNN story. But CNN had to publish that headline today. But President Trump is racist. Two more deaths and at least 450 illnesses linked to vaping nationwide. You know, I'm not totally convinced of this yet because there's a lot of mystery here. Maybe they know this. Maybe they don't. But it's always like the same thing. Like these people, remember vaping, the whole vape phenomenon? Oh, man, it's just vapor. It's good for you, bad. It's cool, bad. Well, I'm just vaping, bro. It's like, no, that's going to have a negative side effect. You just don't know it yet. Well, it looks like we're finally starting to find that out. You know, the president won't give up this fake hurricane deal. Really don't get it, but he won't give it up. Tweets about it again for the fifth straight day. You know what I'd like to see you address, President Trump? The damn treason that's going on. That'd be nice. But no, the president is too busy allowing people to kill for sport and bring them back to the States. U.S. to allow trophy hunter to import body of rare black rhino. This is not good stuff. I know there's big hunters. I know that probably goes against a lot of stuff people believe in this audience, but I'm sorry. That's just not good politics. Apple made Siri deflect questions on feminism. Leaked papers revealed. Yeah, that's the least of it. That's the least of it. That's just what we're finding out. They probably leaked that on purpose. Oh, Jennifer Aniston is now racist, and InStyle magazine is now racist because Jennifer Aniston has a tan. That's right. Jennifer Aniston dared get a tan and pose on the cover of InStyle magazine. That's now considered the new blackface, is white people getting a tan. So if you're white and you're in the sun, you better cover up, you racist. If you dare get a tan, you are a racist bigot. So I denounce Jennifer Aniston's racist tan. How dare that bigot tan?
Infowars.com/show.
Picture. Play the keg. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I was exposed today. I am actually an interdimensional time traveler. I am Abraham Lincoln. But the way dimensions and time works, I'm actually younger now than I was when I was the president of the United States. This is how interdimensional time travel works. It's all very complicated. It'll all come out soon. In fact, Johns Hopkins is doing a study right now on psychedelics and consciousness. I almost want to do a whole show on this. In fact, I may do this because I have a bunch of people that always have wanted me to do this. I'm no choir boy. I'll be honest. All right. I've pretty much experimented with most of this stuff, and I'm not about getting high. It always has been kind of a consciousness experiment for me, mind expansion, what have you. But I don't want these universities and big publications to decide what is consciousness. So I almost want to do a whole deal with this and take phone calls to talk about this and people's experiments with acid or LSD or DMT or mushrooms or all that stuff, because they're going to start releasing all these studies and state claims about consciousness and chemicals and doorways to other dimensions, and they're going to try to rig and confuse people about it. And it's all God's design, but they don't even want that to be involved with it. So I almost want to do a whole thing on this, not here today, but maybe someday we'll do that. But I put that aside. Let me pile drive through this news, and we're going to go to Jeff, Destiny, Jim, Brian. USCIS Acting Director Ken Cuccinelli challenges Montgomery County exec to debate over sanctuary order, basically saying, are you, of course, they call him a neo-Nazi, basically saying, are you going to be the one that stands up for all these citizens that have been killed and raped by illegal citizens? That shut them up real quick. Like this story, 6 illegal aliens accused of stabbing 21-year-old man to death in Maryland. And then it has them all listed right here. But, you know, that doesn't happen in a liberal's mind. None of that ever happens to these people. If this is, you know, I covered this yesterday, but look, I don't like talking trash on Ivanka Trump, but I'm just getting sick of this. She travels around the world on our dime for her own future political aspirations, by my measurement. She goes to aid Guaido, this Venezuelan who wants to replace Maduro. And she's at a camp in Colombia. And I learned this. $120 million we gave U.S. assistance to this camp. $120 million. Well, I mean, what the hell, man? We just shell out money left and right, dude. I'm sick of it. Meanwhile, how about Ivanka, you go to the Bahamas? Oh, I guess you can't wear your fancy kimono and do a bunch of photo ops and hug and cry in the Bahamas because it's literally flattened. At least two of the islands are flattened. There's about 20 of them, but it's just, I'm just sick of this whole crap where we pay everything. Ivanka flies around the world for photo shoots. I'm not even meaning to talk trash on Ivanka. It's just like, give me a break, please. Nashville school bans Harry Potter series, claiming risk of conjuring evil spirits. I don't know how you guys feel about this. Ironically enough, my 7th grade teacher did the same thing. And this is when Harry Potter was popular. She wouldn't let anyone do a book report on Harry Potter. And if she found one in her classroom, she would literally have it removed. Ironically enough, she ended up being one of the best teachers I've ever had. Voice singer files sex abuse suit against Disney and Nashville producer. So more Disney sex abuse claims. It's time for Prince Andrew to face the music. Yeah, we're going to get no justice from this Epstein thing. I'm done fooling myself. Japan set to dump contaminated Fukushima water into ocean as storage runs out. Oh, yeah, baby. Let's just pollute that ocean. Oh, but, you know, the United States is bad because we like plastic straws. I laughed at this, sadly, but I did have a good laugh. Air Force jet accidentally files rocket into Arizona desert. Okay, we're just accidentally fires a rocket. Oh, wow. What a world. Accidentally releases a nuke. Okay, let's take phone calls. Final segment here. Thanks for calling. Let's go to Jeff in Canada. Go ahead, Jeff.
Good day, Owen. I had to call in today because you spoke something out today that I had in a dream 16 years ago. Let me explain. In this dream, I was laying down on the edge of a canyon, and I was looking up, and all of a sudden, I could see blue spiraling light above my head. And in this cloud, a dove was formed out of this cloud. And the only way I can describe it is like liquid love raindrops were hitting my body and going right through me. It was the most profound experience of my life. And this, out of this dove, a voice came, and I believe it was the Spirit of God, obviously. And the voice said, a moment is only for a moment, but a moment lasts forever. And you spoke those words today, and I just want to encourage people. What you hear God saying, act upon it, and it will last forever. It has eternal consequences. So I believe you're right on point today in saying that. And the Bible tells us that there's a memorial written in heaven for the things that we do on earth in the spirit of the God.
But I want to get this etched into the studio. What was the exact quote? A moment is a moment, but a moment lasts forever. Is that how did you say it?
It's a moment is only for a moment, but a moment lasts forever. And when I woke up, I didn't understand exactly what it was. And I prayed to God and he showed me elevator doors. And you hear.
Well, and that's the other key, too. I wish I had more time, Jeff, but I got to take more calls. When you're connected spiritually and your soul is on fire and you're connected to the Creator and you're connected to consciousness and your pineal gland is still working and your soul is still alive and your spirit is on fire, you know when the moment is there. You get the tingles, you get the butterflies, the hair stands up on the back of your neck. But if you're dead from all the chemicals and the attack and the light noise and the pollution that you're under, most people will never recognize their moment because they're spiritually dead. So that's another challenge that people have to get over. Great call from Jeff. A moment is just a moment, but a moment can last forever. I'm paraphrasing, but that was great. All right, Destiny in California, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Alan. This is Destiny. I'm from Los Angeles. I'm a film editor. I've recently moved to Austin, and we sparred over social media regarding whether it's manufacturing that's causing the homeless or the policies. It is one thing only. And I have the solution for it, too. It's a very easy solution to clean it up. In Los Angeles, I've watched for 3 years this going on. It's a money grab. The politicians ask the federal government for money, and they show images like you're doing. You're actually helping them. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying that you're helping them because they're using your footage. Ask the federal government for money.
Destiny, I wish I could take your call. Your phone connection is really bad. I don't know if there's
another room, but I just wanted to tell you that I believe it's a money grab. The homeless is a money grab. It is not manufacturing.
Did you say we got in a social media spar?
Yes, we did. You said manufacturing.
Okay, I just want to be clear. There's a bunch of fake accounts out there that wasn't me. There's a bunch of fake Twitter accounts.
It was on your star subscriber. You said that it was manufacturing. You believe it's caused the homeless, but it's really not.
Okay. I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. And again, I'm sorry, Destiny. Maybe call back when you have a better connection because I could only make out about half of what you were saying there. Okay. Yeah, I heard it was a money grab. It's more than manufacturing. I'd like to respond. Unfortunately, I only heard about half of what you said, and I don't want to respond to something you didn't say. So maybe we'll try to reconnect some other time, Destiny, and we can get this call because it's very relevant. And, you know, you're from California. You're in Austin now, so you're seeing what's going on. Final call. Let's go to first-time caller Brian in Texas. Go ahead.
Hello. Hello. Is this Owen Schroyer?
Speaking.
Hello. It is very good to talk to you. Absolutely. I'm very happy to be here, finally. I want to know that you are definitely a front runner, looking in parallel with Alex Jones, that prolific American human being, first and foremost. All these things that we're experiencing on this planet, in this nation, who we are as human beings, entities, it's profound. The implications, whether we are able to break through certain inhibiting factors to be.
All right, we're running out of time here, Brian. Thank you so much for calling, but that's going to have to do it for today. Sorry I ran so long and I couldn't get to all the callers, but I'll say this. What kind of life would you rather have? A life where you're just a parasite that evolved from pond scum and you're just worthless and should die? Or a life that was created for you, a consciousness created for you by God, the ultimate scientist? I think that one's a little more fun. You stay classy, InfoWarriors.